Greetings, true believers, and welcome to another edition of the Big Brother Happy Hour. I'm your host, not Jordan Parhar, and welcome to the show. My name is Alex Kidwell, you may know me, and joining me tonight on what may be a very interesting and slightly unique edition of the Happy Hour are two gentlemen who, one you see frequently on this show, one you do not. It's Taryn Armstrong and the rock star Dennis Johnny Mack. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
Awesome. Johnny Mack.
Yeah, I'm doing good. How's it going?
I just tweeted this out, but it's like our parents are out of town and we just invited Johnny Mack over so we can like have a big party with the chat room. So
Yeah. Let's break out the, I don't know, alcohol. It's a Sunday. You're an alcoholic if you're drinking right now.
Yeah, I look around. I see no Rob. I see no Jordan. I see no Scott St. Pierre. And just wondering who decided to trust me with this much authority. I don't know if it was a good call, but I digress. We're here to talk to Big Brother Over the Top. And John, we actually haven't talked to you since this whole experiment of CBS's online started. So I'm very curious to get your thoughts, not only as someone you've played Big Brother with in the house, but very unique format, a lot of America involvement. And you were a favorite of America's, as I recall. You were definitely right there with old boy James.
Possibly, yeah.
So, yeah, what's your take on this stuff?
America's hitting it pretty hard, right? They're going right after it. No, this is cool because they got the most hardcore fans to get like really engaged with it. And like, just, I've been reading stuff on like Reddit and everywhere about like, oh, we have to gang up against Tumblr and stuff like that. So there's like factions outside of the house, which is like, that's really cool to me that it's like a battle outside the walls of the house, which is pretty awesome. It's not just people like yelling at each other. Like people are strategizing, like, how can we take out these other factions, which is pretty cool. And then, I was so glad that night one, I watched as everyone walked in the door. I watched Scott walk in. I was like, oh, he's so adorable. But then after the first 12 were in, I was like, come on, it better not be Jose. It better not be Jose. And then Jason walks in. I'm like, oh, I have all the good feels right now. Because like, I know how much it means to Jason to be in there. And like his dream is coming true again. Walking through the door is like, that hit me pretty hard. So I was really happy for him.
So John, you are one of these people that invaded Reddit, right? Like you made a fake account, you went in there, you spread mischief.
Yeah. My secret spy name on Reddit is Secret Reddit Spy One.
Oh, number one.
Yeah.
Are you like the leader?
Yeah. Well, plus I've heard, you know, you add numbers to things and it makes it more secure or something. Yeah. So, and my password is the same exact thing, Reddit Spy One. So. Yeah, no one will ever figure it out.
Oh, well, I'm sorry, but we are broadcasting live, Johnny.
They'll forget about it. Don't worry. Forget everything I said. Ooh.
Yeah, this whole thing, like, not necessarily the most strategic entity of the game we've ever gotten, but to your point, it is like a little bit of like a sociologist's wet dream, right?
Yeah. I mean, they're just like, seeing everyone on the internet go nuts that loves this show. I don't think anyone's gotten this nuts before, even when like really racist stuff has been said. I mean, this just seems to carry on for weeks.
Yeah. And I don't know. It's like the perfect storm of like, you know, Twitter's never been bigger. And this election at the same time is like really amps everybody up. And then, but whatever it is. Yeah. This season, like more than any other, has really just gotten people fired up.
Yeah, that election drop was key. Oh, my God. When they got the people in the house talking about what people were already angry about, I mean, that must have just blown up everywhere. Like, oh, my God, I hate her for opinionating that way.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, that made CNN. And like Big Brother, I don't think it's ever, like, when has Big Brother ever made CNN? Like, maybe BB2 when they told him about 9/11, but like, yeah, that's like a cultural moment. That's like one of those moments where even people who don't like reality TV are like, oh, I get like why this is kind of cool.
Well, they're like, oh, this show is still on?
Well, that's the first thought, right?
Like, what? I remember that. And maybe not enough major events happen in the summer months. Maybe it's just everything waits until fall when everything's dying and everything for until something cool can happen. So that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It's definitely been a like a different experiment, but it's fun. It's definitely, I'm enjoying it more than I thought I would, I think, ultimately. I had to frame it right. I had to get in the right mindset for it.
Yeah. It's not the same animal at all.
No. Taryn, what were you saying?
Well, I'm enjoying polling it because my polls are just like the best part about the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, right. It's like, you know, it's such like an active role in everything that's going on. It's very different. So like, what do you think? Like, Jason, people have talked a lot about the, like, is it like the advantage of being a returning player in a house with a bunch of new people? Obviously, a lot of people have countered that with the fact that there were sisters in there, which obviously I would like your take on as well, because you've played with sisters. Yeah. So, yeah, what's your take on like an advantage coming into a game like this where America votes? Like, was it a bigger advantage to like have a sibling in there you can work with? Or is it a bigger advantage to have like a fan base coming in? I think that's a really interesting question, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no, that is. Yeah. And I guess it would be different depending on who's playing the game. But in Jason's case, I mean, it really helped him out that first week. You know, he had to win a veto anyway to save himself. But I guess it kind of put a target on him at the same time. It's different with Jason because he's gone from like being a fan favorite to he's said some stuff that's ticked a lot of people off and like gotten him angry at him and his people. Then he's come back on top again. So he's been like all over the place there. I wonder if it's enough to say that like he has no fan favorite advantage anymore. It's gone. And like these other people have gotten their own fans as the season has gone on. So now it's kind of like evened out a bit. Yeah, he definitely had to scrape and claw that first couple weeks to come over that fear that they had of him, though. And then with the sisters, I thought that was, like, really interesting that neither of them really wanted to work together. Like, every other time you've seen siblings on this show, which hasn't been that many times, but you're like, they want to see each other do well. Or even if one's in the house and the other one's watching from at home, like Rachel and her sister, or like this past season with Polly and Vanessa's sister Tiffany on there, their siblings wanted to see them do well, and this time it's kind of like I wasn't too sure they actually want to see each other succeed at the beginning, but then it started to grow towards the end there. It seemed like they would have someone that wouldn't turn on each other like in those last couple weeks, but like openly in the diary rooms they were saying like it's okay if she goes, I'm totally okay with it. So that was just like something new and cool to see. Yeah.
Is it safe to say that the Willett sisters are the most successful siblings we've seen on BBUS at least?
I think so. I think they both had like a lot of good strengths there that a lot of the other duos didn't have. I mean, if you go all the way back, what, Adrian and Natalie? I mean,
yeah, the yoga twins.
Didn't they got picked off really quick once they both came in, right?
Yeah, the twin joined the house.
Yeah.
And immediately like one HOH and got crazy HOHitis.
Yep. Just
completely blew their entire game and went out right away.
Yeah. They were like too much of the same people. So same strengths, same weaknesses. Whereas like Morgan and Alex, like one seemed to be like, they're going to play the aggressive game and they're going to win all the HOHs, which you need someone like that to do those things when the other one is not going to be doing that. They're going to be, you know, be on everyone's good side, really good at talking to people. I mean, that's a deadly combo there. So,
yeah, that's a good point. Right. Cause like Morgan has like, you know, the, like the cheerleader background, like she's very social. Like she's able to like play the social game in a way that like Alex isn't. Cause she's kind of like a gamer. She spends a lot of times behind a computer, but she really understands the strategy of it. So yeah, that was kind of an interesting dynamic with it this season. And yeah, you contrast it with like Adrian and Natalie, who like, I want to work with Cowboy. Oh, I want to work with Cowboy too.
Yeah. It's just, diversifying the portfolio a bit. That's what they did. And I think it works.
Yeah. I wish they had done it more. Like, I wish that they had really like stuck to their guns and gone on opposite sides of the house. Like when Morgan and Alex were both in the Plastics Alliance, Alex or Morgan should have pushed the other one to be like, listen, get out of here, go to the other side, and we can work this from both angles.
Go mull it up.
Like, Yeah, I feel like that would have been a lot more successful if they had been able to pull it off.
Go on Mole Patrol.
Yeah, especially when no one really had a clue. Like, it just seems time after time the house guest gets evicted. They're like, what? They were siblings? Oh my God. Except, that is one thing I am proud of. Jason, he had that like inkling at the beginning where he was looking at the memory wall. He's like, they look really similar. But other than he tried to use it one time to get Monty to start thinking about it, right? The first time he was trying to stay away from getting nominated. But other than that, he really hasn't said anything about it, which I think is better than he did last time. So that's really all you can do. Just improve on your mistakes from last time. And he did keep his mouth shut about that.
I think he talked to them about it actually a couple weeks ago. He was like, yeah, you know, in the beginning of the season, I couldn't tell you two apart. And they were like, yeah, funny.
Yeah. And I feel like it's like he saw it early and then he kind of talked himself out of it. Like, oh, big brother, you wouldn't do this to me again. Yeah. No way. So he just like worked his way backward. It's like, oh, Jason, you almost had it.
I love how you have the voice down. That's totally Jason.
I've been working on it. I've had the fall to develop my screw you hookers, all that good stuff. But yeah, to your point about like has Jason's advantage expired? We've talked about like the and certainly like the Joker's rankings are not like necessarily reflective of the entire community, but like we always talk about them. Today, I actually want to run down them because I think it's very interesting. Today's Joker rankings in terms of people's favorite house guests. Number one, Shelby. Number two, Morgan. Number three, Alex, evicted. Number four, Scott, evicted. Number five, Monty. Didn't we hate him for being racist? Number six is Cornbread? What?
Cornbread's amazing.
Number seven is Jason. Number eight is Justin. Number nine is Whitney. 10, Danielle. 11, Neely. What did Neely do? 12, Shane. Like, just because he's been worse on Twitter than he was as a house guest, I guess. And then 13, with the bullet, Chrissy.
Listen, Alex, America's judgment does not subside just because you leave the house. Shane's Twitter activity is perfectly available to be judged by jokers.
It's just crazy to me that these guys, Monty and Shane, or Monty and Cornbread, who are just like absolute pariahs for all the wrong reasons and saying all the wrong things at the beginning of the season. Like, this is the nature of these games. Like, the longer we're exposed to you, the more people have time to grow to hate you. You like die the hero or live long enough to become the villain in Big Brother, right?
Batman. Yeah, Cornbread is slowly creeping into our hearts. So, but when he's number one of that poll by the end of this season, you're going to know they were smart to get rid of him first. He's the biggest threat in there.
People's champion. He's going to defend anybody attacked by any relatives at the finale. It's all going to be good. Cornbread's. He's a good guy.
I'm just ready for like they seem to like their team twists and stuff. So I'm ready for next season when you get three teams, one led by Jody, one led by Cornbread, and one led by Glenn. That's what we're building towards here.
Oh my God, that would be awesome.
My money's on Glenn.
Someone's like, can I just be a free agent, please?
And then I would just want that season to be like Groundhog's Day, just the first day played over and over again. And a coach gets evicted or something.
Yeah, it's rough times. Yeah, whoever loses the first house guest will also go out with them.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's happening again.
And that's like some Twilight Zone nonsense.
Francesca. Big Brother's Francesca.
Yeah. Okay. I want to talk about last week. Like, it seems like, you know, going into the strategy of this week, Shelby's HOH. Last night she saves Justin and Chrissy, which sets up her, you know, pretty much lays it out. She's going to save Morgan tonight and it's going to put Jason and Danny on the block. Danny seems like the target, but yeah, it's not a great look for your boy Jason, who probably could have gotten out of this maybe if he didn't throw the fake final five deal their way last week. That's now a thing that, like, I don't know if you've seen, there's a thread on Reddit now. Is this like the worst move in Big Brother history? And I don't know if you can really compare it to, like, you know, BB Propa, and this is such a different game, but there really was no strategic merit to it, right?
None at all, but I loved watching it. Oh my God, that was such a great villain move. Like, just to blindly go in there and mess with people, like, that, I don't know, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I don't think I've seen anyone just like being like, I just want to see these people suffer. And that's just something fun to watch. I mean, I feel bad for the people that were victims of it, but it's like,
yeah. Well, when you frame it that way,
is this what we can expect from a Johnny Mac All-Star appearance?
God, no, probably not. I don't know. I don't know what I would do, but
go back and come out like the most hated house guest of all time.
That would be
complete heel turn.
I think to do that, you would just walk in there and yell a bunch of racist stuff.
easier than it first seems when you think
about it. Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the main way to go. But otherwise, yeah, just do slimy things in the game, right?
or fake hand injuries.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. No. I can't believe we're still hearing about that.
Well, of course we are. I mean, like, yeah. Why wouldn't we?
2 years to recover from a hand injury.
Yeah, well, you know, but you work with your hands. Well, I guess Chrissy's a musician, whatever.
Yeah, something like that.
She serves hot plates. So who's going on the block, according to your poll right now, Taryn? Morgan or Chrissy?
Well, it's an interesting question because my poll is very close, actually. Morgan was not in the lead for a long time. Chrissy was ahead of Morgan by a good like 3 to 4% for a little while. But then it tightened up. And now with almost 5,500 votes, it's 48% Morgan to 47% Chrissy. So by 1%, it looks like Morgan will be going up. However, the one time that my poll was like really wrong was when it was off by 3% saying that Neely was going to be evicted instead of Scott. And so there is this margin of error of about 3%. I don't think 1% can cut it if it leans towards the misfit side, because I think it naturally leans that way by at least about 3%. So honestly, I couldn't even call it right now.
Wow. So this is really becoming the election 2016 of the season here.
Too close to call. Can you demand a recount after you're evicted?
Well, you can't demand a recount because CBS never releases the actual numbers. So they're like, count what? What are you talking about? That's all that footage, data has been deleted, and it's now in the vault. We can't access it for 15 years.
Or they'll just be like, okay, we recounted. You're still evicted.
Yeah, right. We just did it. Just now. Yep. Yep. Have a nice flight. Yeah, that's really interesting, man. Yeah, because this is like, on paper, it seems like the only reason to want to nominate Morgan is if you're trying to protect Justin and Danielle, right, Taryn?
I mean, not entirely, but like...
there's
like
more to it.
For the most part, yes. Like, if you're a Jason or Danielle fan, you probably want Morgan up. However, again, like, there are a lot of merits to putting up... I've seen a lot of people on my timeline talk about, hey, guys, can we just agree to put Justin up instead? Like, no, that would protect Morgan. That would protect Danny. And, like, everybody would be safe. Obviously, if you put Morgan up there, Danny's still probably going to go home because almost anybody... But Danielle winning the veto would use it in a way that sends her home. Jason at this point has basically flipped and he's willing to take Danny out. The only person who would really entice him to change his mind again would be if Justin is available to be cut. And so, I mean, Justin's really the best bet to save Danielle at this point, as far as, you know, as far as I can tell, as far as my opinion goes. But it's probably too late to turn the vote around to get it all on Justin instead of Morgan. And then again, like, what's interesting to me is that we have these two sides, and you know, the Misfits fans and the Plastics fans, and the Misfits have been dominating this vote. And I think the Danielle fans are the biggest contingent of that, but there are still Justin fans here. And I think the reason this vote is so close is because the Justin fans either are or should be switching over and, you know, electing to nominate Chrissy instead of Morgan, because if Justin gets Danielle out, that is a game-winning move for Justin. He automatically gets the care package next week, and then he's automatically in Final Four. All he needs is one competition, and then he's in the end with probably somebody like Morgan, who's probably not going to beat him. And I mean, the clear move for Justin is to take out Danielle, and I think that's why the polls are so close. So what's surprising to me is that I figured if Justin was, you know, if the Justin fans joined up with the Plastics fans, at least for this vote, they would kill this poll, but they're not, which suggests to me that maybe he really has fallen from grace quite a bit.
Very interesting.
Hey.
Wow. Yeah, there's a lot to chew on there.
Yeah. It's like being in the house. Now everyone can see like all the decisions you're thinking about, and you just come to the point where you're like, man, there is no good decision. I'm just going to have to pick one.
I mean, maybe it's the skeptic in me, but the idea of these two sides coming together to agree on like a third party option just seems like a total pipe dream. Like these are groups that have been so charged all season. Like, you know, you're a racist and you're a, you know, a hypocritian and all this stuff. Like the idea that these, you know, groups on Twitter are just going to hold hands across America is, that's a pipe dream, right, John?
That America coming together, that would be amazing. That's the dream, right? It's going to happen, guys. Yeah.
You know what you are, Alex? You're part of the problem.
Exactly right. Absolutely. I've never professed to be anything better than that.
You got a guitar there? We could sit around the campfire, sing Kumbaya.
We should definitely close out the show with a musical number.
BBOTT, Healing Wounds. I would never have pegged that when this thing started or continued or still is going.
Something I wanted to bring up was, you know, there's been a lot of talk. So basically, since it was last talked about, there have been a lot of discussions. Chrissy and Justin have talked with Jason about this plan to flip on Danielle. As I mentioned, he seems to be on board at this point. I imagine Jason is looking at it like, all right, look, I need to take out either Justin or Danielle this week. If they're not going to put Justin up, I'm going to have to take out Danielle, which is the correct move for him, I think, because he's still sitting pretty essentially next week. The only thing that could hurt him is a Morgan HOH, which is kind of scary, but it's still unlikely. And so if he's able to take out Shelby next week, which they've been talking about, then he is really set to win this game. Unless Justin is successfully able to take him out instead. So if Danielle goes home this week, I consider the game to be between either Jason or Justin as to who's going to win. I think they both occupy the biggest amount of equity. And so what's been happening is they have been talking about Shelby as like, you know, man, Shelby has been this secret agent this whole time. She's been playing dumb. She's way smarter than she looks. We need to get her out of here because she's winning competitions. She's never been nominated by America. She must be popular. We need to get her out ASAP. And they're also looking at Morgan as somebody that they want to take to the end. And so this is sort of a shift in how they've viewed these people, especially Shelby, who they've really considered to be an idiot throughout the entire season. What have you thought about that, Johnny?
That was cool. Yeah, I saw that discussion. They were sitting outside. Someone posted on Reddit. That's how I saw it. But yeah, I was like, wow, they're actually wising up. And she, her whole disguise has kind of fallen to pieces here. But yeah, that's awesome that they're figuring that out. I mean, I love Shelby. I don't want to see her lose. But at the same time, it's like, wow, they're actually making some moves here. And I was surprised to see it, a lot of it coming out of Justin's mouth. I was like, I wasn't sure he was really playing at all. And then he's just like sitting there and just like, she's pretty smart. We got to get rid of her. All right. And that's all it takes, really. It doesn't take this big elaborate plan. It just takes one person with an inkling and you're in trouble.
Yeah, I like how that was essentially what you did with Vanessa. Yeah. Like, hey, wait, you know what? She's pretty smart. We should get rid of her.
Yeah. Yep.
Hold on a tick. This isn't working out at all. Yeah. It is interesting, right? Because Justin, like, he's gone these long stretches where you're just like, this guy is just doing nothing. And then there's these days where you're like, this guy could be a pretty good player if he like really applied himself. Like, yeah, like you're talking about, he's talking earlier. And he's saying like, yeah, he's aware that Shelby is really smart. And he's like, you know what? I bet it is. Like, sometimes, man, the smartest people, they're just terrible socially. And I'm like, yeah, you see, yeah. He's actually pretty astute there, Justin. Nicely pointed out.
Yeah, it is being pointed out in the chat that part of this could be attributed to the diary room leak for Shelby. It's hard to know how much, because we don't really know how much they caught of it. But obviously, that was like a big indicator that maybe Shelby is not what she seems, and maybe she's a lot smarter than she seems. But I also think that the competition wins, and the fact that she's
and
the fact that she's talking about strategy a lot, and she's wheeling and dealing at this point, I think all of that sort of contributes. I'm not sure it all can be attributed to the diary room leak, but it could definitely have been a factor.
And with Alex gone, it's like, you know, who, you know, anyone talking strategy now is like much more obvious, because they were all focused in on her, and now there's like, you know, that focus has to go elsewhere, and Shelby's been winning ever since.
What was the reaction to that? Because like, from being in the house, like, if they weren't suspecting, oh, she's a lawyer to begin with, they're not going to be ready when that came out. And then they only got to hear it once. We get to play it back 20 times and get angry about it. Did they keep talking about it, or did any of them know what an LSAT is, or?
Yeah. See, that's the thing. I never saw any confirmation that they knew what the LSAT was, which is my hesitation on the thing.
Yeah. I think it was assumed that they didn't know what it was, because they didn't seem to react to it very strongly. But I think that it may have, you know, instilled this notion inside of them where it was like, there's something about Shelby that we don't
know. Shelby's out there taking tests. She's got to be smart.
And she gets Chopin as like her music of choice, like this classical music. And she's like, oh yeah. And they're like, wait a minute, this does not match with the persona here. Not the greatest choice of music if you're trying to act dumb.
Future Big Brother players, classical is not the way to go. I appreciate if you like it. It may soothe you in the house. It may well be exactly what the doctor ordered, but I don't think it helps your perception none.
How else would I feel like a serial killer in there, Alex? Not fair.
I don't know. You could get some, what's that song that like Buffalo Bill dances to, or Buffalo Bob, whatever his name is. Midnight Horses. You could get that.
It puts the key.
Key in the HOH basket. So, okay. While we're talking about ridiculous stuff, John, I heard a comment from Chrissy earlier, and I'm like, oh, I'm so glad John's on the show tonight so I can get him to weigh in on this. And it was just like the most out of nowhere comment. But as a professional, I would appreciate your perspective.
Okay, professional mode.
Chrissy believes that, quote, teeth are the genitals of the face. What do you make of this?
Like, you're going to use them to sex things?
I wish
that
I had,
sounds painful.
I wish I had further context to provide. That's the statement I'm working with here.
Yeah, I mean, using teeth for things, that would be, I wouldn't do that. But at the same time, I don't really think they can reproduce on their own, so she's gonna need some studies to back that up. I haven't heard that.
Well, basically this makes you like the greatest player of all time, right? Like, you are really in it. Like, you get around if teeth are the genitals of
teeth are the genitals in the face, consider John the world's greatest showman's partner.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, yeah, so if we're taking it as fact, then that helps my cause for sure.
Yeah, I don't know where that was coming from. Like, people have been making a lot of ridiculous comments lately, and certainly I feel like a lot of it you could just chalk up to like, oh, we're on day 60 something, we're all going insane, which is reasonable. And yeah, I've certainly heard some things from other people this weekend with all the downtime that has, and not just downtime, but like, you know, Danny's back's against the wall and she feels it. And she, you know, she's saying some stuff that's a little interesting. And she got really mad at a bird today, for example.
Birds.
Danielle is very, very angry. After the safety ceremony, she was very upset with Shelby. She called her like an effing idiot like 5 times in a row. She said that she was going to make Shelby's life a living hell, which I found a little funny, considering her reaction prior in the season. And I mean, she's been upset. She's been very upset. And she's very upset with Justin as well, because she feels like Justin has betrayed her. And he's like, why does Justin get to skate by this whole time? And, you know, I think rightfully feels abandoned. She didn't really realize that she was on the bottom of this alliance for a very long time, until probably just now. And even now, she probably doesn't feel it as much as it is true.
Yeah, this is like the best time to make a final two alliance and not feel bad about it, because there's just no one left to go after at this point. It happens like every season. So many words broken in this final six here. It's just like you just have to go after who didn't win the comps, and it does come down to a lot of comps there. And yeah, everyone goes crazy when words are broken at this point, but that it happens every single time.
Yeah, it's the sort of like you can understand the reaction, right? Where she's angry, and that causes her to be a way that is, you know, like she was just about ready to slit Justin's throat last week and changed her mind at the last second, and now she's mad at him for trying to save his own butt. And like, I think like it's the sort of thing where you're angry in the moment at that person because you're angry at what's happening, but then after the fact you're like, you know what, I've calmed down. Understand now. It was a game, and that's why like people can be friends outside of the house. It's like, you know, I was being stupid in the house. Like it's something everyone does.
Well, we can say it was being stupid in the house, Taryn, but this leads me into something maybe a little more nefarious or darker in nature, which is Danielle's uncle has taken to Twitter this weekend, and he doesn't seem to be very happy with the way things have been transpiring in the house. You could safely say one of these people you would put in the camp of production screwed that side of the house with the comps and the broken mirror situation and all this stuff that happened last week. But he's got some things to say at Allison Grodner and at Julie Chen. And he's claiming he's got some hacked emails and some stuff that he will release that, you know, they're clearly you know, violating their own rules. They're cheating. There's things going on here that are like preventing Danielle from winning the game. And then it got weird, Yeah. That's when the comments started getting into directed at Alex and Whitney and saying like, I'll be at the finale. And unlike my niece, I don't hold back. Like, what does that mean, dude? That's a little scary. Like, do these girls need protection?
Well, yeah, well, followed by somebody like, oh, you're not going to do anything. And he says, do you think I would post anything beforehand? That's premeditation.
Yeah, which is like, super sketchy. And he claims he's going to out the production member that Shelby is hooking up with. And like, oh, man, this is just it's putting a nasty spin on it because this is a family member. And like people are, you know, people associate this person with the game. So they're thinking like, oh, this guy must know something. Like, no, this guy doesn't necessarily know anything. He's related to Danielle. That's all we know for sure.
Yeah, do we know for sure? Is it Twitter verified? Like, I am Danielle's uncle from Big Brother.
Well, he does have a picture with her at a baseball game, and his name is Jeff Licky. So the last name checks out. But no, I mean, not even verified. So you make a good point, John, is that in and of itself cannot even be fully confirmed. But
yeah,
Taryn, this is just a lot of talk, right? Nobody has any emails on Julie Chen, right?
I'm sure he has plenty of emails in his mind that he's thought of.
Hey, he's got them. Taryn, get the torrent. All right. You can get the torrent. He says,
yeah, you can get the torrent and look for yourself. Okay. I've expressed my feelings on this before, but like production does not care. Like,
no,
they don't care. They're not going to rig this game. If they wanted to rig this game, they wouldn't have all of this stuff on the feeds. They'd be like, they don't have to show the competitions on the feeds if they don't want to. If they were planning on being like, oh no, we're going to rig it. We're going to make sure that Shelby gets a second chance. We're going to like flip the switch and break the mirror halfway through the game. And then like whatever, like they would just be like, no, you don't get to see any of it because we want to control it. Like, why wouldn't they just do that if that was their goal? It's just the whole thing doesn't make any sense. This idea that there are email like, Shelby is what, screwing somebody in production, and therefore she's going to get like, preferential treatment. Like, she's still in a terrible position in the game. Why weren't they helping her out beforehand when she had a much better shot at winning? What is happening here? Like, there are so many people that genuinely believe that there is some sort of conspiracy going on, and it's absolute utter nonsense. I tweeted out something that was clearly satire earlier, and there were a ton of people that were like, yes, and they retweeted it, and they were like tweeting it at Allison Grodner, like, yes. Taryn knows it's rigged. Like, no, I know it's not, because you have no evidence whatsoever to support that claim. It's so absurd.
Yeah, this is not the season where you can make outlandish jokes because there's some outlandish beliefs out there.
Yeah, I feel like people have like this vision that like Alison Grodner and Rich Meehan are just sitting there 24/7, like with their hands on everything. It's like, no, these people, how much time do you actually dedicate to your day job, you know? And half the time you're thinking about being somewhere else. I mean, they got families and everything that are way more important than the show to them. They don't care who wins.
I think people have just watched the Hunger Games too many times. Like, there is no control room with a center console where you can just like manipulate the environment with the flick of a dial. That's not a thing. I'm sorry. Like, we would love to think that production is omnipotent and able to control all the variances and variables in this game, but the reality is not that cool. Unfortunately, they had some ideas this season. They slapped it together and they're like, let's see what happens. And that's just
and this is something that comes up literally every single season without fail. Like oh man, production rigged it for Bridget and Frank, didn't they? Oh yeah, production really rigged it for Amanda Zuckerman, didn't they?
Wasn't there like a Helen was pushed thing?
There's still a Helen was pushed. That YouTube video has a ton of views, and I think there's probably recent comments are like, not fair, man. This is and you can see the video. Like, yes, somebody like John, just go ahead and confirm. You're a house guest. There's a run behind the back wall, right? Like where production can go through with the camera and stuff, right?
Like there's space back there. I mean,
I think you can see someone go by.
Yeah.
But the idea that they would reach out and grab an ankle, is that where you draw the line too? Or
I don't think that would be made specifically for ankle grabbing.
we're talking about like, obviously no offense to any house guests, including you, Johnny Mac, but we're talking about a bunch of random crazy people who got cast for the show. Like, you really think that that production could rig something and trust these people to be quiet about it? That after 18, 19 seasons that like nobody has been like, listen, here's the proof that they rigged it. I'm showing you now, I am the whistleblower. Like, no, like you can't trust these people to remain silent. Like, these are some of the most gossipy people on the face of the earth. It would get out.
Hey, now, Taryn, if live feeds have taught us anything, it's that every Big Brother house guest ever is a steel vault. All right. So,
Stop talking about production, damn it.
shut it down.
This is getting off topic, but the one thing that when I do watch the feeds, the amount of singing that's been allowed is crazy. It's kind of awesome in a good way. Like, I know why you can't sing for like logistical reasons on regular seasons, but they've let a lot more through, and it led to a great moment with Justin in the pizza. Like, what could we have seen over these past 15 years with more musical input there?
Do you think maybe, like, I know you're not allowed to sing really at all, but do you think maybe if people like from the beginning established that they were going to be making up their own songs like Justin did, that maybe they would like shy away from that? Cause like, I feel like the problem is they're worried anytime someone breaks into song, it's about to be a copyright thing.
Yeah.
And Justin is like made a point of like just making up all original songs. So maybe that's why they let it go. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's the risk that you could sing something that's already copyrighted and you didn't know it was copyrighted, you know, and that's such a monster that they just don't want to get into it. Yeah.
Exactly. Because like the button boy who's like going to fish, he has no idea. Like, he or she has no idea. Like, if the song is copyrighted, like they could be singing what they think is their own original song, but they're actually doing it to the tune of a song that they didn't realize they're doing the tune to. Like, they have to play on the side of safety there. My question would be like, are there really like record companies or whatever that are trolling the Big Brother feeds to make sure that like,
we got them.
People aren't singing right renditions of 7:15
Pacific.
Music.
We got them.
I bet Kanye West does.
It's all Kanye West's fault. Every single time they go to fish, it's because they're afraid, like, man, but what if this is a Kanye West song? Otherwise, it would be fine, but it might be a Kanye West song.
You know what you need to do is just go in there and claim like you're the descendant of someone who, like, you know, what do you mean? My dad wrote Daydream Believer. I'm allowed to sing this. Like, I can get away with this.
I own the rights. We're good. Yeah. All right, let's.
Matter of fact, you have to send me a check right now every time I sing it.
Let's collectively buy the rights to Thriller. the entire Big Brother fan base for Big Brother 19, just so we can give it to someone.
Make the house do a flash mob dance.
Yeah.
You'd have to think that somebody like Chrissy would go into the house and be like, hey, look, this is our music. This is our copyright for it. Like, let me sing this. And then she'd get to advertise her band. Maybe they don't want her advertising her band. Like, who knows? But you'd have to think there are some ways around it. And certainly Justin has found some ways around it. And I don't know if that's because it's Big Brother OTT or because it's Justin. You know, who knows?
Yeah. What was he singing when he got in the fight with Jason earlier? I lost my best friend because I scared the S out of him. It was really great. Like, he just breaks out into these little things.
Jason was so pissed.
Jason was salty. Yeah, don't touch me. No. Jason doesn't like to be scared. We learned that in that veto.
Yeah.
You don't mess with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Calling all the ghosts, sir, and everything. Like, huh? Okay.
He's not having it.
Yeah.
He's over it.
Taryn, anything else you want to get into, or should we like dive into some questions?
I don't know. I like where do you guys see the future of this game going? Because essentially, the way I see it, it's probably going to be either Morgan, you know, either Morgan goes up and something flips and Morgan goes, like maybe Danny wins the veto and Morgan goes home, or it's Danielle leaving. Like in either direction, do you guys see like a shift happening? Who do you see going to the end with these two different scenarios playing out?
I like Chrissy's odds.
Yeah, she drag her to the end, right? I think like at this stage, it's going to be like breaking up the pairs, and that's clearly happened between Jason and Danielle already. And if Danielle goes, then that's one down. Somehow you break up Shelby and Morgan. I feel like Morgan would stay over Shelby because of the perceived threat by everyone else. So unless Shelby wins a veto, I would say Morgan's going to stay over her. And then out of Chrissy and Justin, I mean, it sounds like Justin's starting to get a bit of a target on his back. So it could be, I'd say like Jason, Chrissy, and Morgan, but then there's probably going to be a hanky veto that would switch one of those.
Yeah, I think that's what Jason would probably want. It's probably Jason's best bet to win. Although I do think he overestimates Justin's popularity at this point. I think we've seen that Justin's popularity has fallen quite a bit. But I think, you know, he definitely wants to get there with Chrissy. That's a given. And then somebody like Morgan or Justin, I think is fine. If he's there with Shelby or Danielle, I think that's his biggest competition as far as an end vote.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do some of these questions here. I like this one. This is from Dryer Cat. Taryn, I think you can definitely probably speak in this some detail. We didn't touch on this as much as I wanted to yesterday. Can you explain why Shelby didn't make Morgan safe yesterday at the safety net ceremony? # confused.
Oh, you know, it's basically just a sign of good faith, essentially. You know, Shelby has proposed this alliance, this Final Four alliance, and she wants to do everything she can to make Justin and Chrissy feel comfortable. She's even offered to say, like, you know, hey, if Danielle or Jason win the veto and Morgan is not already on the block, I will put Morgan up as a pawn instead of you, Justin, or whatever. They don't really believe that, and neither do Shelby or Morgan intend on actually going through with that, I believe. But they're doing everything they can to just be like, yeah, like, we'll show them good faith. And then also, I think Shelby expressed, like, I just don't want to have to deal with them coming up to me anymore. Like, if I put Justin and Chrissy on the block, or Justin, yeah, if I make Justin and Chrissy safe, then there's nothing they can say to change the outcome at that point.
Just go ahead and put the cards on the table.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Which is, I think probably the smarter move, because it gives Jason and Danielle more time to cope with the idea that they're going up on the block.
Which, what is the opposite logic of the Final Five deal, right?
Yes, completely the opposite, right? Like, they're doing everything they can to not throw it in their face and be like, last second, ha ha, gotcha.
Yeah. Which, yeah, I mean, I think that's probably smart at this point in the game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, always want to have more bridges to cross. I mean, no one wants to get left on an island, metaphorically or otherwise. John, I think the safety ceremonies are kind of cool. I mean, obviously, I like the original nominations with the, you know, the rotating key and stuff. But like the way you did it, where you just turn the key and you see the face, like, this is better than that, right? Because there's a way of gaming it, like we were talking about. Like, do you show the cards on Saturday, or do you wait and surprise everyone happen on Sunday. What do you think about it?
Yeah, like from strategy in the house, there's way more to think about because that could alter. They're very far apart. They're not as close as they are on the edit. So you can change someone's mood for a long period of time there, and that's really going to affect your game. Like, time helps a lot. Like, I feel that with the double eviction, if that had been spread out over a week, I don't think Whitney would have gotten home. I think she would have had time to fix everything for herself. So, like, definitely that extra long key wheel that takes place over a day, I mean, that's definitely going to mess with people. And so from strategy, there's way more to think about. If it's just a regular season of Big Brother and you're just trying to quickly get the nominations that you've been building up to all episode in there, I mean, I think the newer version's better. It just, for a lot of people, I feel like they don't feel that tension that we used to feel on the old episodes. They just want to see, like, boom, it's in there. That's it, you know, off with their heads quickly.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point about the 24-hour gap between Saturday and Sunday, because we really haven't seen it this season. But yeah, Taryn, I mean, you got to think, like, give your boy Dan Geesling 24 hours between safety ceremonies, and you got to think you can probably make something happen there, right?
Yeah, exactly. And I've wanted to see more of this throughout the season, because that's what I said from the start of the season. Like, the reason why I think this has potential is that as soon as the first safety ceremony happens, you can change your entire campaign. You can switch it up to be like, all right, look, I was proposing something before, but now there are only so many options. So I need to change up my game plan and I need to approach it from a different angle. And if anything, that could potentially help them, because a lot of people often get stuck on one particular angle and they can't get off of it. They think it's going to work, and even though it just continues to not work. But if it's only between them and a couple other people, then they're going to be like, all right, well, maybe I should throw those people under the bus. Maybe I should do this. Maybe I should do that. But we haven't really seen that much. And I think that's a large reason for that, is that there's just not a lot of strategy happening this season. Like, and the initial nominations don't often matter all that much. So I do think I kind of think this has potential for maybe a regular season of Big Brother where there's more strategy involved. But for this one, it's obviously it's not quite worked out the way that we might have wanted it to.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a good question that we should have asked probably from Dominic Malpiti, I believe. How would J-Mac approach playing BBOTT differently than Big Brother? So that's something we've talked about a bit throughout the season, but like, knowing what we've seen, say they ask you back, OTT, it's you and a bunch of recruits. Like, what's your, you know, don't give away all your plans just in case they actually pull this card. But what's your thinking as opposed to, you know, going back to play regular Big Brother? Like, how are you approaching it differently?
I think anyone going back in Jason's position, like, the first thing you got to do is be like, yeah, people don't really like me anymore. And just come up with ways to say it. Like, oh, like, They don't want me back. They wanted other people back on the last season. Like, I've just lost a lot of popularity. And then hopefully that kind of starts to resonate with a lot of people. That's what you'd want to do to start with. And then as the weeks go on, I mean, I think like the main thing is just like, stop pandering to the camera. No one wants to hear you beg to them to like help them. Just do your thing, you know? And I think that turns a lot of people off, that kind of stuff. Like, when America is just going to be that important to how this is going to play out, just go in there and play how you're going to play. Don't worry about whether they think you're a villain or anything. Don't say anything that's going to like tick a certain set of people off, like that you isn't game related, and just go in and play hard. And that's it.
You know what, for what it's worth, I think that you would be good on a Big Brother OTT season. I think that, like, at least the way you played on Big Brother 17, where it's like you were able to like stay off of a lot of people's radar for a long time while remaining really likable and out of all the drama. Like, I feel like, especially like on a season like this, there's nobody that has remained free from the drama. There's nobody that has been that is unsullied from the treachery of this season. And I feel like that was you on Big Brother 17. Like, you very much stayed out of that fray. You never like got down and dirty in a way that sort of like put mud on you, but you were still very likable and very goofy. And I feel like that's a really good spot to be in for this kind of season.
Yeah. Yeah. It helps out. Just like,
it's like if Justin really knew what he was doing.
Yeah, just don't make all the comments on the side. Like, know that you're being videotaped all the time. Every single thing you say could tick off a lot of people that are deciding whether you're staying there or not. inside and out.
Yep. This is a question from John Densford, and we got it from a couple people actually, but how do you feel like, well, first of all, who from this season do you feel like would do well or should get a shot at like regular Big Brother? And yeah, we'll start with that.
You go first, sir.
Oh, well, I mean, I've said before that I think Alex should get a shot at a regular Big Brother. I think that she was playing a good game up until week two, and then everything changed and she didn't play a great game. But I would like to see what she's capable of in a regular season. I really like Shelby, but I think this is her better format. I'd like to see Jason play in a regular season again. I wanted to see him improve from that version, and instead he's kind of had to learn this one on the fly, and he has had some advantage in knowing what's to come, but I wanted to see him more strategic, I guess. That's probably like, I can't really think of maybe Scott too, because I feel like Scott was somebody that like this learning the format of this season just totally shook him. And he completely recognized that he had no chance of winning, especially after learning about the final three thing.
Been in these BB streets too long.
Yeah. And, maybe he is just Ronnie, like who knows, but I would have liked to see what he was going to do and how he would have fared in a regular season.
Yeah. So I agree with Jason. You wanting to see him in a regular season. I want to see Jason hang from the wall. If he stayed, he would have gotten to try that out. That's what I want to see. I just want to see how he doing that.
That's right. He won that week one HOH where he was like stuck on the pole with the alien and stuff. So he's probably good at those things.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like Matt Hoffman, similar stature. I mean, built for it. James. Yeah.
Yeah. Right for this.
I think bread for this. So much bread. Alex, I'd like to see her with more people that are playing just as hard as her, because it helps when you have more people that are going that hard at the beginning, because then there's more people that can go before you. Like usually the aggressive people go pretty quickly. And if she was kind of the only one I felt that was playing really, really hard in the beginning.
Yeah.
If you just gave her a few more people to compete against that were like that, I think she'd do pretty good. Shelby brings the entertainment though. Yeah. So I could see Shelby going back in there, but a lot of the guys were just evicted way too early.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of like, maybe Monty to be like, go on. He could have been like another Devin if you gave him another HOH.
I feel like we were robbed of a Devin Monty, losing him so early.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also maybe like the America's voting element, once you let him know that his behavior is not appreciated, he kind of like watches himself and tones it down, as opposed to if he wins HOH power and is getting no insight as to how he's being perceived, then he becomes Lord Monty and just that's what we didn't quite get to that full degree of. We could have seen that. We could have gotten there. Maybe another time.
So I have a question from Iron Pony Chef.
Oh, good.
Can you explain why Danny is viewed as a good player? America's nomination saved her twice and her allies don't like her. John, how do you feel about Danielle's gameplay? Because this is a contentious point.
So polarizing.
Yeah. I don't know how like aware she is of it, because there's times like she should know when she's sitting there and telling all these stories. It's like, no one's listening to any of your stories right now. So you need a little bit of social awareness. So she doesn't have that there. She is winning comps. That's good. That's a good thing. She's thinking strategically about her moves. I don't think she thinks about like the next level of gameplay, like psyching people out. So I saw like during the double there and probably a little after that, she was really talking to try to keep her and Jason safe. I don't know if that was like genuine or not, but if she really was that genuine, I guess, because that'll make me sound really stupid if I Danielle really want to save her and Jason? And
During the double when she was HOH?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, she had this conversation with Morgan and Shelby where she was like, so what do you guys think now that you're both safe? The only person I want to save is Jason. And I do believe that's, I think she wants to go to the end with Jason and Chrissy.
Yeah, if you want to save Jason, you have to throw him under the bus like crazy at this point. You can't tell people, hey, this is the guy I want with me to the end. You have to be like, we want him out of here. We have to get rid of him. So then they're like, all right, we don't have to worry about Jason. Who should we really try to get rid of?
Yeah,
I think she's thinking that far ahead.
Final seven, final six. Like, this is kind of fake fight time, isn't it, Taryn?
Oh, yeah. You know, I mean, Dan Giesling, the king of that strategy, right? Like him
in Memphis. Yeah, right.
But yeah, you're totally right. Especially in I think that's a perfect representative thing for Danielle's game where like she was in that position and she was doing something that was kind of correct, right? She was going to her enemies who were just made safe. You know, they're going to have a shot at HOH next week. So she was trying to build a bridge to them and say, look, I want your input on who I'm going to take out. And that's a good instinct. I like that she was doing that. But then she says, totally, you know, unprompted, Jason is my guy. I want to keep Jason safe. Like, you don't need to tell them that. They're not actually HOH. They don't actually have that power to nominate him. Yeah. You didn't need to give that information. And then and then she agrees to nominate and take out Justin, only to change her mind and renege on a deal for the second week in a row, which has put her in the position she is now. So, like... Mm-hmm. It's like I feel like the story of Danielle's game is good intentions and bad outcomes. And that's just been very consistent throughout the entire season.
Oh, Taryn, I think we've been watching Big Brother together too long, because that is a line I've been mulling around for a couple of weeks now. Yeah, I mean, I think it's true. Like, when you ultimately eulogize Danny's game, she's putting in work. She's making efforts. She's doing more than a lot of the people around her. But a lot of times it really does seem to be one step forward, two steps backward. Her end result is not, like, she's not thinking through what this will accomplish. Ultimately, I feel like the problem is she's looking to play a team game and it's not a team game. She's looking to take care of everyone. And you just can't do that in Big Brother. I get it. And, you know, we've seen it before. I think it's a little bit like, you know, Caleb, where it's just you're going to go down with the ship more almost every time if you're going to be playing like this, because other people are starting to look through the forest and see the clearing up ahead, and they're gonna shove you into a tree at the last second.
Yeah, only one person is getting to that clearing.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it's the hunger. That's where it is. The Hunger Games. Somebody's gonna have to eat the poison berries.
I feel like we're getting way too many of this particular question, because I feel like the answer is obvious, but people are asking whose laugh is better, Johnny Mac or Shelby. Alex, I imagine we're on the same page about this.
I wasn't even going to entertain this question, with all respect to my team member Puya, who asked it.
I mean, it's obvious to Johnny Mac, right?
Like,
come on now.
Oh, thanks for pandering.
With due respect to Shelby, who, if you haven't seen it, go back to Friday night and watch the end of Shelby's live DR. And it's very funny where she just doesn't know how to end it. So she's like, yeah, so, well, I don't. Okay, well, it just bye. And just walks away. It's fantastic.
Yeah, I saw that on Reddit. Yeah, I saw that on Reddit. Like, how to end every conversation ever.
This is how, ideally, you just kind of, all right. See you later.
So I think Johnny Mac's laugh hands down, but I will give the nod to Shelby's face when she laughs. The like, the like five chins she gets with, like, with her when I don't know, she just has like the most ridiculous, like, shocked laughing face.
It's good reactions. It's amazing. Yeah, really good reactions. And that's why I think that's a big part of why that Trump video does so well, is you've got Shelby just like,
yeah. Very expressive. Yeah,
fantastic. All right, let's see, do we have more questions here?
How about one from one of our esteemed podcast contestants from the You So You Think You Can podcast contest, from Cam Perry. What would you have to change if there is a Big Brother Over the Top 2?
Ooh,
what do you think, Johnny?
Well, You hope it's not the way that it changed from Big Brother 1 to 2, because that would pretty much take away everything that's different about it, right? The America's input. So
more campaigning for America, right?
the America has to still be involved there. I mean, I kind of miss endurance comps. I know that the comps are supposed to be different, but like just one epic endurance comp. Come on. We want to see it.
That's a lot of money for Crisco, though.
Yeah, right.
I don't know if we want to sell that out.
At least the wall, maybe. The wall's sitting somewhere. You know it is.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. They got it in storage somewhere in a, you know, like a big trailer in the back.
It sits there all winter. You got to use it.
It's like the floats in New Orleans. Like when it's not parade time, they just all like sit in one big kind of abandoned warehouse somewhere.
I mean, they got to use it. I like to imagine them like dreaming up a competition. They're like, man, we've got all this like Crisco fake butter, slippery nonsense.
Black box.
Yeah. like, can we just fit it in somewhere somehow?
Yeah. Yeah.
But
why not?
Alex, you're the marketing guru, right? What are your thoughts on this? How do they improve BBOTT too?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, like John said, the America's Vote element is the kind of the theme. It's what makes this a twist on Big Brother and not just more of the same. So if you're sticking with that, fine. I think I'd like to see more that gives like agency to house guests, though. Like, it's fine if you want America to control so much, but then like add more. Like, I'm almost talking like hide a hidden immunity idol in the wall. Like, just start doing some silly stuff. Like, why not? Why can't this be the version where we try all kinds of stuff? There's like a, you know, some kind of like coded, like, you know, letter combination on the wall with like spinning letters. And you, when you get something, another door opens, or I don't know. I mean, who knows? Just try some stuff. I think the more you put in the house that like gives the house guests like things they can think about or try to speculate on or do, I think that's better, because like, obviously America is going to play such a big part in it. And that's going to create lots of downtime in the house and lots of moment where like strategy isn't developing. So I think if you have like just some other like basically if it's a hamster cage, like throw a wheel in there, like have a couple ramps, like just some interesting, some things.
Or like a ball pit room.
Yeah, right. One room sweet. With just bottomless ball pits. Yeah, or just bottom. Yeah, just can't find the bottom on this thing. Is anyone? I don't know if it ends. Yeah, like
that could kill you. That's like quicksand.
I feel like then
that's where you have to sleep as a have-not, just in that pit.
But then if James came back, he would just be hiding in the ball pit 24/7. Like, that would just be the place to go.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? That is his go-to. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, obviously if I could choose, I would just remove America's influence entirely from all Big Brother. But I do agree with you guys. You know, if they want to keep this America's influence, I do think they have to reduce America's influence. I feel like between the care package, the nomination and the vote, we often had a lot of redundancy. We had, oh, you know, we have to give this person the care package, not because they need the care package, but because in order for the nomination to work, we need the care package to be out of play, essentially. Like, we need to burn it on this person so that the nomination and the vote can go the way that we want. We didn't need all three. We really only needed the nomination most of the time. And I think that, like, maybe if we gave them just a care package, like, oh, you get a veto or you get safety and you have to, like, or you get three vote canceling things. And, like, you have to use that to save yourself without extra help, like from a nomination from us, like that and a vote or a nomination and the care package, like, so, like, just reduce it a little bit so it's not quite so redundant, you know, give them an opportunity to breathe with those care packages, because I think the care packages are probably a good thing to keep. I think that it adds variety to each week and it adds an extra layer of like, well, what do we do with this care package and so on and so forth.
And it scratches their Hunger Games itch.
Yes, exactly. And so instead of it being like, oh, well, we need this person to get the care package because this person is going to go up and then they're going to go home and we can't have them be, you know, so on and so forth. It's always going to go to the same side for all three votes, essentially. So, you know, just get rid of one of them, add in something else, something more fun, right? Like the have-nots, that's not very fun. Add in something fun that like challenges or like Alex said, or like ball pits, whatever. We can vote on like changing up the house somehow. Like, I don't know, add in a fun vote instead of one of these like game controlling votes. And I think that's a good move and a step in the right direction for Big Brother OTT.
Yeah, and you know what else would be cool, I think, is, you know, if this is the fans' version, right? Like we talked about, like, this is the game for the you know, the fans of the game, the people who really love Big Brother, the people who are watching the feeds. Can't we, I mean, how hard is it? I know Julia and Austin canceled, okay? But how hard is it to get more like former house guest appearances? Just to like they don't have to host competitions every time. I know we got Rachel to host and we got Paul to host. I mean, we've done a decent job of that, but I'd like to see a lot more of that. Like, why can't Janelle just like pop in and like, I baked you guys a pie, here you go, and then that's it. Like, I'd just like to see more just random, like almost like, you know, you're in like the Big Brother neighborhood and these people are just like popping in as your neighbors every now and again. Like, that's what I'd like to see.
That's what we do. We just go back in there and we're just like, hey.
Yeah, I just imagine they're living there, but right, like Johnny Mac and Steve, roommates down the street, and they're like recording music all day. And like, I want to live in that universe.
I could absolutely imagine Johnny Mac bursting into the house like Kramer on Seinfeld, like,
hey, what's up, guys? What you guys got to eat?
Stopping by for a quick snack.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe even like you were saying, I wasn't even thinking about the care package, but like that was like season 18's twist. Like maybe there's some other twists in the history that would work pretty well. Like America's Player, that might work pretty well when America's doing all this kind of stuff. Like they'd have some kind of extra connection there, or maybe another saboteur. Yeah.
Combine them.
Yeah, double duty. Or, can we bet on the season? Let's get money involved.
And Julie comes on later, like, well, because of who won HOH tonight, odds have shifted dramatically. Danielle is now only paying off at 5-1. While
gambling like problem, call 1-800.
Flash the hotline on the bottom, of course. Yeah.
We should discuss this on the down low so they don't shut us down. But we'll get you in. We'll get you in on something, John.
Okay.
The underground Big Brother gambling.
Don't announce our bounty system. It'll be the NFL all over again.
Oh no.
Okay. Well, do you guys have anything else you really want to touch on? I feel like we've run through everything that I had for the evening.
Well, you know, obviously I have a show coming up tomorrow, Monday at 7 p.m. Eastern. That'll be the two remaining people from my team, Melissa and John, not this John, but another John. I mean, clearly they are the best team around, and it's, you know, it's really the highlight of all three shows to get to see them compete. And, you know, one of them is going to be the winner. So you should really check it out. It's seriously, this whole competition is a lot of fun. It's definitely scary for a lot of these contestants. I feel bad for them. Yes. But it has been a lot of fun. And I've been very impressed by a lot of the contestants here. Like all of them have done such a great job. Certainly better, far better than we ever did when we started. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Thank God we did not have to do this.
Yeah, well said, Taryn. Yes, check out Taryn's show tomorrow night at 7 and vote for his contestants. And then also voting is still open for my contestants. We did our show rather yesterday, Saturday at 3. You can still check that out on robhasawebsite.com or on the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube. I felt like they did a great job. We had a really good show. And unfortunately, I am being made to cut 2 from my team down from 3-1. So they need your votes. So get out there and make it happen for them. Yeah, right? Double eviction. You know how those go, John. Not fun.
Death.
Nerve-wracking.
Scramble.
High anxiety.
Yeah.
You can follow John at Rockstar. Wait, I'm blanking now. Rockstar DMD, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's knew this. I'm second guessing myself. John, what's going on with you? What can people check out? You got some music you're putting out lately that people can see? Or
I'm not putting it out yet. I'm working on
come
a lot
on.
Of stuff.
Yeah. The people are anxious.
Such a prude, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, such a perfectionist. Yeah. I've just been working and then trying to fit that in on the side and a whole bunch of stuff. But yeah, I'm trying to get more stuff out on YouTube, but real life gets in the way.
That it does. Well, John, I hope we can get together sometime, maybe in like Frostburg, some midpoint between you and PA and me and Maryland. We'll grab a beer and talk about this stuff some.
Two beers.
Or 3. Dude, sounds good.
Several beers.
We're getting crazy.
All right. Well, I guess that's going to do it for us. For Taryn Armstrong and the great Johnny Mac, I am not Jordan Parhar. Thank you for watching.